All right. Now let's see if we can get to our lesson today. I want to turn to the second chapter of Colossians. Colossians 2. And Paul says, "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Though I be absent in the flesh," and that means though I be absent in this mortal body, "yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein," that is abounding in the faith, "with thanksgiving." I want to concentrate just a little bit once again on walking in Christ, or our walk in Christ. And so as Paul says here in verse 6, if you received Christ, then walk in him. We received him by faith. Well, we walk in him exactly the same way. And so today I want to concentrate on a particular part of that walk, because it is actually a walk of remembrance. And Jesus declared that in John 7. If you would turn to the 7th chapter of John's Gospel. John 7, verse 1. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee." You will notice he would not walk in Jewry. And the reason was because the Jews sought to kill him. And I want to notice at this point, however, that evidently Jesus changed his mind. He changed his decision because in verse 14 of John 7, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And so the fact is, he must move according to his Father's plan for him. And that plan included his announcement and his promise. Verses 37 to 40 in this chapter, that's the promise of the Holy Ghost. And I want to enlarge a bit on the main purpose of the Holy Spirit. There are many. He does many things. But the major, one great major purpose that of the Holy Ghost is in John 14, 26. "The Comforter," that is the Holy Ghost, "whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And he shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And so again, Jesus' emphasis was on listening to the Word of God in this particular place. "Bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you." A part of that remembrance was, of course, the communion cup. Jesus said it this way, "As oft as you do it in remembrance of me." If you would turn now to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I want to consider a number of verses here in order to put this in context and what it actually means. "This do in remembrance of me," because people have taken the communion supper throughout the church. They have taken it completely out of context. And we simply cannot do that. So in 1 Corinthians 11, let's begin with verse 17. "Now in this," Paul had commended them for doing something right earlier in this chapter. "But he said, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you." That is not what was intended by the communion supper. It was supposed to unite people. But the way they were doing it was dividing them. And so I hear that there be divisions among you. I partly believe it. There must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. Verse 20. When you therefore come together unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And Paul is basically telling the Corinthians, you've missed the whole point of the communion supper. And so you are actually not observing the communion supper indeed as you should. And then he explains that declaration in verses 21 to 34. We continue here, in eating, everyone taketh before other. See, it was not, the communion supper was not unifying them at all. It was a very great cause of division among them. And so, in eating, everyone taketh before other. And that means that such an one is motivated by his own selfishness. And that is the wrong reason to gather. And so everyone takes taketh before other his own supper. Notice further. One is hungry and another is drunken. I've been asked about this several times down through the years. If the communion supper is to be observed with real wine or with grape juice. And so here is one answer to that. Some have wondered about that, as I said. We find for a fact here, the Corinthians didn't get drunk on grape juice. They were taking the communion service with real wine, the real fruit of the vine. And so we want to notice it is very imperative for us today that we consider the conscience of other believers in taking this supper. Some people may not, their conscience just may not allow them to drink wine or alcoholic beverage, so to say. Continuing here in verse 22, Paul goes on. He says, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God? This is what they were doing, is despising the church of God. And shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? No, I will not praise you in this. Verse 23. I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. Now, here's where we must understand that Paul specifically said, what I delivered to you, what the instruction I imparted to you, I got that directly from the Lord. He didn't receive it secondhand from someone else. It was the Lord himself who spoke these words unto him. And that, again, the gist of that was, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. And so it was not a secondhand information. It was directly from the Lord. And this is what was to be remembered. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And they were greatly offended because of that. But of course, Jesus was speaking in symbolic terms. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what he was talking about. But the essence here and the command here is, this do in remembrance of me. The purpose of the communion supper is to remember Jesus. Some people have departed from that, as I said, continue to remind us. But the purpose of the communion supper must be to remember Jesus. It must have absolutely nothing to do with what we may or may not have done, be it good or bad. Notice further, verse 27, which some have greatly misinterpreted. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, people misinterpret this. They apply it wrong. And so we need to understand Paul wrote down exactly what he intended to write down. And so he used the word unworthily. Unworthily is an adverb, and it describes the manner in which something is done. It does not describe the condition of the person doing it. But that's the way people have interpreted it. Am I worthy to take communion? Are you worthy to take communion? Now, I know you've done such and such, so I don't think you're worthy. That's not what he's saying. The Corinthians were doing it in an unworthy manner. They were doing it all wrong for the wrong reason. And so he continues here in verse 28. Let a man examine himself to see if he's worthy. The reason that he must examine himself is to find out the reason for which he is taking the communion. And the reason that Jesus gave, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. You don't enter into the equation at all. It is only Jesus who must be remembered. And so he continues, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh once again unworthily, he eats and drinks damnation to himself. And then Paul explains exactly what a person does when he takes the communion service unworthily. Notice, he is not discerning the Lord's body. That's how you partake of it unworthily, when you don't recognize all members of the body of Christ and include them in that communion service. And so He tells us they are refusing to allow members of the Lord's body to join in the communion service. That results in verse 30, beginning with verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, that perhaps meant that many were actually dying, but I think the greater part of that is they were just sleeping when they should be listening to what God was saying unto them. They were just oblivious to the instruction, to the truth that God would impart unto them. So for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Then Paul says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Again, we judge ourselves as to why we are taking the communion service. Verse 32, but when we are judged, God is going to evaluate them just as he did the Corinthians, and they were found wanting. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God is making a difference between his people and the world. He's going to correct them and see to it that they do not follow the same path as the world or unbelievers. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, here is Paul's instruction to the Corinthians, tarry one for another. You need to wait on one another rather than insisting on your own way and on your own path, your own agenda. He says in verse 34, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Why? That you not come not together unto condemnation. And then Paul says, the rest I'm going to set in order when I come. And so again, we come to this communion service This is what God, what Jesus laid out. As oft as you do it in remembrance of me. And we must evaluate our own lives. Are we doing it in remembrance of him? Are we indeed recognizing all of the Lord's body? Because that entire body is exhorted to do this in remembrance of me. You need to concentrate on what I have done rather than anything else. And so we would simply ask this question of ourselves. Is Jesus not worthy to be remembered? And of course he is. We all would agree with that. He must be remembered for what he did there at Calvary, accomplishing this great, it's a plan of God, but this great path of redemption that he has provided for us. And so, with that in mind, we are going to take of the communion cup. If we could have our elders pass those cups out.